Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode,
the greatest advertisement for your church is not a building campaign. It's not a full building. It's not a full parking lot. The greatest advertisement for your church is people being saved.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Vintage Podcast. My name is Stephen Cox. I'm your host. And alongside me is our producer, who is micless today, but Ken Everson is with us today. And we are so excited to be back. It's been a few weeks. We've had a lot of stuff, life things that happened. And so we're excited to be back on the Real Vintage Podcast with you today. Thank you for tuning in, downloading the episode. I always tell you to do this, but make sure we really want you to participate in sharing, liking, commenting on our podcast. Some of you have even been commenting on our Facebook page and different things, telling us that you miss us, which is pretty cool. Ken and Ruth Ann Everson, Ken kind of puts our podcast together, but about how many weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, Ken and Ruth Ann were blessed by the Lord with another healthy child. And so they've been busy. They've been very busy. Ruth Ann had a few, she had some C-section, so obviously it takes time to heal. And then the baby had a few little things at the very beginning, but looks like the last couple weeks, last week or so, things have been really looking up and healthy, and everybody's doing well. And so family always comes first. You know that. You know how I feel about that. When life happens, babies and all that stuff, that is just a blessing. So we just took a little hiatus, just a little bit, and we were kind of itching to get back on, and we've been busy. I want to give you a little update about our church. That's kind of the purpose of this podcast. Many of you have been asking, if you don't follow me on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, I've been a little bit more quiet about it on Facebook than I have been on Twitter. Seems like I've got a lot more preacher friends that I kind of keep up with on Twitter, a little easier to do so. But we are closing on October the 11th. You pray that that'll kind of be the date. I think that's Columbus Day officially, but we're supposed to close on that day. It's kind of been a journey. We started this journey in May. If you're new to the podcast, our church was planning on building a building, and have been for probably the last year and a half. And then literally out of nowhere, which is a unique situation, but the church that is adjoins our property, there's a little building at the top of the our property near the road there. We're on a very busy road. And a Presbyterian church, 14,000 square feet, a beautiful, unique building, built in the early 90s, was, you know, called the Bridge or Harrison Bridge Road Baptist Church, or say Presbyterian Church. They just disbanded, unfortunately, and just went under. And so I heard about it through one of our members on a Sunday. I can take you to the spot I was standing when that member walked out the door and said, "Pastor, have you heard that the church up here near the road is going out of business?" And I said, "No, I haven't heard that." Well, at the time, I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about buying a church. I went back to my office, and it really didn't hit me till Monday. I said, "You know what?" I was talking to my wife, and I said, "I need to call about that church." I said, "They're no longer meeting there, and what are they going to do with it? They're probably going to sell it. They're building a hospital in front of our church. They're building condos and banks." And I don't know. I kind of had an epiphany a little bit. I believe it was the Spirit of God just speaking to me. But anyway, make a long story short, some of you know it, a lot of you know it. We called, and I finally got a hold of a Reverend Wilson, who's kind of in charge of all the things. And to talk to him for a while, gracious man, he said, "You know what, we are going to sell it." And I said, "Well, listen, our church is very interested." Now, I hadn't talked to the church yet, but I said, "We're interested." And I knew they would be. And as soon as I started bringing up the church, man, people were excited. We started praying, and make a long story short, we made an offer, and we waited for a while. You were with us along that journey. We were waiting, and they finally, we came to a price, agreed on it back in August, and about the second week of August, something like that, first, second week of August, we agreed on it, and we, praise the Lord, have went through inspections, bank approvals. We went through all kinds of different things, and it is coming to a close. And so we're excited. And we will have a grand opening on January the 16th. We're looking forward to moving in there. Our plan right now is to have our worship there. It's a beautiful auditorium. We're going, there's a lot of work to be done, but we're going to make that our worship place of worship there. And then, of course, where we're currently, some of you have asked, what are we going to do with the property we have? We have 20 acres. We've got two buildings. We actually got four buildings on this property, but two are like mobile units. We're going to continue to use them. We're going to turn it into more educational spaces. I believe the Lord wants us eventually to maybe do some educational stuff through the week, you know, pre-K, early learning, daycare, stuff like that. There's a big need in our community for that. And so we're going to get the church side right, and then we may launch out into that. So we're excited, man. These are great days. And we just today, I'm recording this on Sunday, we have just finished our third capital campaign luncheon. And that's kind of what I wanted to, some of you guys have asked me to maybe go over what a capital campaign, like obviously you know what a capital campaign is, but you know, some churches will hire somebody to do a capital campaign for them, and I thought about it, but then you know, I just thought, you know what, I believe if our people are just told straight up, you know, what to do, and here's the goal, how do we meet it, and explain it to them, give them opportunity to ask questions. So what we did, and if any of you guys need any more, I could probably go in detail if you do call or email. But I designed three luncheons, started 3 weeks ago, and so I broke down our church into age demographics, and asked our church, starting with the young married couples, or with the senior saints, we call them the Sunny Seniors, and 55 and up, and we had a luncheon for them, and we had a nice catered lunch. And they come in, and we go over our capital campaign. I give them papers. I give them all the things. And then I give them a time to ask questions, great questions. And so we had a great dinner. Then the next group was our biggest group, but it was our married couples and our young adults. And we probably had well over 100 and some last week, not including children. They had their own separate luncheon. And we answered questions, and we didn't. Then we had today. We had a big group again that came in for luncheon, and they asked lots of questions, good questions. And so these three luncheons explained our capital campaign in a more intimate detail versus me just getting up and just, you know, getting in church and telling people. So I explained to them that it is a 3-year commitment above your tithes, above your offering, above your missions, and all that. This is a commitment for the Bridge Church Capital Campaign. That's what we call it, because that was the name of the church up there that we're purchasing. And we're bridging and building. We've kind of built on that. It's called Building a Bridge Capital Campaign. So we're kind of playing off of that name. And so far, the commitment cards are being turned in today. What people have prayed over these commitment cards for the next couple weeks, I'm sure, because there was some folks who are not able to attend today. But these next few weeks, we're going to put all the commitment cards together, tally them up, and over the next 3 years, these are the commitments on a weekly or monthly basis. And then we had a kickstart offering today. So the kickstart offering is that first offering that kickstarts your capital campaign. So I didn't have a goal set in mind. I didn't have a number, because here's the danger with you setting a number in a capital campaign. If you don't meet that goal, you feel like a failure. And that's the danger of any goal that you set numerical. So like we, you know, if I wanted to raise $100,000 and we'd raise $90,000, then some people would look at it like, man, we were short $10,000. Man, $90,000 is a lot of money. To us, it is. So that would not be a failure, but mentally it messes with you a little bit. So I did not ever mention a number to our church. I said, give what you can. This is what we're borrowing. This is what we'll owe. This is what we're going to monthly give. This is our cost, and we want you to give. And so far we have seen a wonderful increase, and we've seen people give. And so we're so excited about it, and I appreciate those of you that's been along on the journey with us, even some of our podcast friends that, you've just been listening and praying, and that means so much to me as a leader of this church, and just this whole different aspect. So you pray. January 16, that is the goal. I do have a goal set for our grand opening. January 16th, we're going to have a blowout of a day here at our church and a celebration, if you will, of this brand new property. And by then, hopefully all the work or most of the work will be done that needs to be done for us to get from point A to point B. So there is a lot of things that's unpacked in this, but we're just excited to expand. And these are crazy days for churches in general and for people, but these are good days to serve the Lord. And our church has grown. We matter of fact, there was a man that came to Christ this morning in our a service. I've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah, and really was not a gospel message, obviously, in Nehemiah, but on the tail end of it, kind of inviting folks to come to Christ, and I did, and explained the gospel on the very end of the message. And this man raised his hand, first time visitor, came to Christ, 30 years old, and God kind of confirming, I believe, what's taken place here at Bible. And I think the greatest advertisement, and pastors, you know this, the greatest advertisement for your church is not a building campaign. It's not a full building. It's not a full parking lot. The greatest advertisement for your church is people being saved, baptized, and discipled. That is it. They added to the church daily. And that was what made that New Testament church so thriving and so wonderful, was that people were being added to the church. Did they have a building? No, they didn't even have a building. They were going house to house. They were, the church was spreading. They didn't have a church building. They didn't have a capital campaign. The revival took place, and it captivated a city. And that's my prayer, and I hopefully that is your prayer if you're listening today. And I had three emphases about this campaign that I wanted to share with you on the podcast. Forgive me for making a little noise, but I just pulled out a little piece of paper, and this is what I gave to our people, and I'll kind of give it to you as well. But there was our needs for Bible Baptist Church, and you can pray with me about it, but there was three focus areas that I think we can pray, but also think that we can put feet on those prayers and we can work. And the first focus area was obviously the spiritual. That's the most important part. The spiritual, which is focusing on winning souls. And I know that term winning souls turns some people off because you feel like that term caters to manipulation or maybe talking people into salvation and stuff and winning them over like a salesman pitch. That's not what I mean by that. I mean preaching the gospel and seeing results. You know, the results are up to the Lord. But being very engaging in the gospel with your community, that to me is the main focus. Well, when you say keeping the main thing, that is the main thing, and we want to keep that at the forefront. To be really honest with you, the reason this church died, the very reason that we're buying this church is because they lost their focus of souls. And the very reason that they went out of existence is because they lost their focus of reaching people with the gospel. I spoke with a man yesterday that was at our Craft and Fair show here at the church, and he was a pastor. And he said, "Pastor, I pastor an older congregation," and he said, "We're only one generation, one thing away from our church closing." I thought, how sad is that? But that's exactly what happens. You lose your focus of reaching people, and therefore your church will die. And so the spiritual aspect of this is focus on preaching the gospel to the lost, baptizing new believers, and discipling new believers. That's our main spiritual focus. The second thing is our physical focus, and that is working. And I said in one of our services this morning that if you're looking for a church where you can just blend in and just slide in and slide out, and you're just wanting to check a box off, this is really not the church that you... I want you to really reconsider attending this church, because, you know, this church is a working church. And I want the physical aspect to, you know, futuristically, we're not going to stop working until Jesus comes. And there's always going to be things for us to do. So like work days, land prep, landscaping, we've got all kinds of things, new signage. Oh, my goodness, it's so expensive. New chairs. We're going to have to buy shuttle cars because shuttle carts because of shuttling people back and forth from campus to campus. But, you know, it's exciting and looking forward to that. Then the last thing is the financial aspect, which I shared with you earlier. The financial aspect of it all is getting your people motivated to give. I was very sincere and very honest with our church this morning in preaching Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm preaching out of verses 9 through, I think, verse 18 just today. But it was preparing for the work. So I strategically planned Nehemiah back when we found out back in May the opportunity would arise that we would. So I started gathering my fall preaching book and started studying for verse-by-verse exposition through Nehemiah, and just kind of the timing, getting people motivated for that. And man, it's going great. But today, one of the things in Nehemiah chapter 2, that Nehemiah first assessed the need. He went to the wall. It said he arose at night, and after a three-day journey, arrives at the wall. He gets up. Then he asked a few men around him, about verse number 10 or 11, I think he asked a few men to go with him to help assess the damage. And he takes a few days to look over the damage. He views over, I'm sure he prays, I'm sure he weeps through it. But then as soon as he, in verse 17, he starts telling the people, and the people respond, and they say, "Let us build, let us build." And so they strengthen their hands. I think it's verse 18, they strengthen their hands, and they got together. They got to working. And that's the whole thing for me as a pastor, is I want my people to strengthen their hands, and I want them to rise up and let's meet this challenge. This is new to me. And I told our church that I have a hard time as a pastor asking for money. I do. I just, how I was raised, I do. In all my aspects, I have a hard time asking people for money in general. Like you know, my dad, his advice to me when I got married was, "Son, I've raised you. I don't want to raise you again. I certainly don't want you to bring somebody else and let me raise him." So that was his advice. That was premarital counseling. But in all reality, it taught me some things to scrap and save and do what I can and be a hustler. And so as a pastor, to go to our people and say, "Okay, but here's, I've had to lay this aside, the pride. And I've had to just be real with our people and say, here's the task at hand. Here's the, as Nehemiah said, you see the distress, you see the reproach that we are, and you see the ruins and the walls in shambles and the gates are on fire. You see all this. Now, what are we going to do about it?" And some could have said, "You know what? I don't know. I no longer live here." Some could have said, "Oh, what's it to us? We've been gone for a long time. Nehemiah, what's it to you? 800 miles away, it's no big deal." But Nehemiah had a vision, he had a burden, and he saw the distress that these people were in, and he did something about it. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to let an opportunity that God has presented to us slip by. And my challenge to you pastors is, hey, let's. Our nation's in peril. A lot of churches are in peril, and I believe as goes the nation, or as goes the church, so goes the nation. And when churches are in terrible shape, so will the nation be. And that's the way it is today. We need to rise up, get our people challenged, preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, be fired up. And it's time that we grab our Bibles and stop even preaching politics and preaching all kinds of divisive things and preach the word. And just let people just get a hunger and thirst. And I'm telling you, God wants to still bless the church, and he can still grow the church in the midst of all of this craziness. And I want you to pray for us. These are exciting days. I don't want us to look so far in the future that we miss what's going on now. These are some of the best days that we'll ever have in the history of our church. And I want you to pray for us that as we seek the mind of the Lord and we go forward, and God will meet our needs, and we're already thanking him for it. And Pastor, I want to challenge you. You may be discouraged today. You may be disheartened today. Maybe you're not buying a property. Maybe you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it. Can I challenge you to hang in there? And I don't think right now is the time to quit. I've talked to a few guys on the phones that's been very discouraged. Now's not the time. I don't think there's ever a good time to quit. But one day when Jesus, I believe he's coming back, and I believe it's going to be soon, And when he does, we'll have time to rest. We'll have time to lay our burdens down and all the things down. But until then, we've got a world to reach with the gospel. We've got a community to reach with the gospel. Let's be tenacious. Let's think out of the box, not out of the Bible, but out of the box about how we can reach our community for Christ and all these things that we can do to just make an impact on another generation. I want my kids to have a church to go to. It's not just about me. I want my kids to worship here for many, many years to come. I want you to pray for us and just pray that God will bless. We're going to keep you updated on this building. We're going to keep you updated on our grand opening and all the things that's going on at Bible Baptist. But here at the Real Vintage Podcast, we're all about encouragement and just keeping it real with you and just you know, able to communicate. There's some great podcasts out right now, and I am not in competition, but there are some wonderful podcasts that you can get some good things from. There's a brand new podcast out there, Ken, and I'm trying to remember the name. I listened to it the other day. Let me see right here. I'm pulling it up on Twitter. These guys are four preachers. I don't know them that well. I know Stephen Russ, and let me look up Stephen Russ. What is the name of that podcast? But these guys are good guys, and they're on there. Let's see, Dear Church Podcast. So 5 days ago, they had a brand new episode. Ken, you can look them up. And these guys, I listened to like two of their podcasts, and I was greatly encouraged. They're all Baptist preachers. They're not hateful. I think most of them, if not all of them, have a good balance to their ministry, and so I highly approve their podcast. It's new, so that's why I'm saying it's something you can listen to. Some of you may be podcast out. I get it. But if you have a few minutes on a day, these guys are worth your listening to. And there's a few others too, and I have a variety, but I enjoy these guys. Hey, listen, more power to you. I think some guys are saying we need to shut some of them down. I think if they're edifying and encouraging, we need to have more of them. So if God's put something on your heart, hey, that'd be a great thing for you to get into. Ken, thank you for jumping on with me today. And I just wanted to give you guys an update on our building and to kind of encourage you a little bit today. And wherever you are, hey, I'm so glad that you have tuned in. And share it with us. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, and comment, text us. Thank you for all the replies. We've missed you guys. Congratulations to Ken and Ruth Ann. What a blessing. And congratulations to Bible Baptist. This has been a journey. We love you guys. And God bless you, Twitter world and Facebook and all you people listening on podcast world. Thank you so much. And God bless you. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast or Instagram at realvintagepodcast or even Twitter at real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.